Welcome to the Frisco Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ellis, and my guest this week is Jeff Chaney joining us once again. It's been a while since we've had you on, Jeff, so thank you for being here.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Good to have you. We're going to chat about a couple of interesting topics right now that are Frisco City-related things that are kind of going around and maybe stirring a little bit of emotion with people.
Sure.
So the first one we're going to dive into is the proposal to allow dogs on restaurant patios or restaurant porches or what have you. Tell us a little bit about what's actually being proposed there and what that would look like if it was allowed.
You know, we do have many pet lovers here in Frisco, and so this has been a topic that's been brought up multiple times by our citizens, and we just decided to take a look at it to see if it made sense for Frisco. One of the most controversial issues we dealt with in my term on council was the dog park, you know, that being built here in Frisco. You know, people are very passionate kind of one way or another when it comes to pets, whether they should be in public places or not. So that dog park actually took years to finally get approved. And when it did, it's actually one of our most utilized parks now here in Frisco. And
so were there people that were opposed to the dog park?
There were many people that were opposed to the dog park. You know, the concept was certainly that we shouldn't be spending tax dollars for a park for dogs. And of course, the dog lovers say it's a park for people with dogs. And I think just of our experience is that it has been a highly successful park, and it's gotten people to a park environment that may have not used one of our other parks. And in fact, we're actually in the middle of expanding that park. It's been so successful. So that was just approved at our council meeting this week.
So where is the dog park for people that haven't been there?
It's on the west side of town near Phillips Park, 4th Army in Lebanon. It is kind of a hidden gem, so you have to know where it is. You're not going to stumble upon it. And that was part of the beauty of the location, was it got rid of a lot of the concerns about noise and any smell concerns, because it's really kind of off the beaten path on a piece of property the city really had no alternative use for. So it's worked out perfect for the city of Frisco, and has been a great success story. Probably that success story is what led us to really think about the dog on the patio issue and whether that made sense for Frisco. And just my experience with the dog park, I knew when I posted the question on Facebook, I'd get a lot of varied opinions.
And you did.
And I have. I think we're up to maybe 200 comments on that post. And it's, you know, definitely people passionate about it on both sides. So if you do have a passionate opinion, it's something to share with council as we take it up. But, you know, here in Frisco, we're trying to do some things that are unique. You know, this was an idea that was brought that is certainly interesting. The debate is centered around, obviously, our dog lovers that want to bring dogs to the establishments are usually well-behaved, and really restaurant owners that may decide that they want that kind of environment for their patios. And, you know, so to me now, I think probably where my lean is you let it be a business decision whether they want to allow that or not. They very well may know that it could turn away patrons that may be opposed to it. And so I think that becomes more of a market choice. And so our citizens that really don't want to share a patio with people with pets, you know, can certainly vote with their feet and not visit those establishments. I'm still receiving feedback, definitely some interesting comments.
Is there going to be a vote on this issue, or is this the kind of thing that just gets decided by city council?
It'll be a vote by city council, because we'll have to actually amend our health ordinance, because if we do decide to allow it, it does come with restrictions. The restaurants that choose to become dog-friendly patios will have to have signage reflecting that. They'll have to follow other requirements as far as how often the patio is clean, can't have porous tables so that food can fall through, the dogs can't be fed while they're there, they have to be given water in disposable cups or bowls, and so there are restrictions, you know, just so keep, you know, the environments clean.
Would safe. Things like leash laws still apply?
They have to be on a leash. The owner has to have them in control at all times, absolutely.
Yeah.
So they can't just be left loose.
Well, I don't have a dog, but Wendy and I went out to dinner last night, and we're sitting on a patio, and it was not in Frisco. It was in Plano, and somebody had their dog there, and it was just lying there next to the table, you know, enjoying the nice cool bricks, and it made me think about that issue a little bit. And, you know, I know people are going to have differing opinions, and I certainly understand people that might be opposed. I think I'd be for it. I just love puppies, so,
right.
You know, I'm a little biased that way. But
well, I know my little girl, Caitlin, she is definitely for it. She loves her some dogs, and every time we see one out in a restaurant, I think she spends the whole night petting them. So I'd say you look at it, and 99% of the pet owners and dogs that will go to the restaurants, I'm sure, will be perfectly fine. The owners, you know, are responsible. They're not going to bring their dog to a restaurant unless they know that. But you do have to plan around kind of those 1% situations where, you know, there are controls in place if something turns out how it shouldn't, and really give the restaurant owners the tools they need if there's a problem that they need to deal with, that they can.
So just to be clear, on the vote for this amendment, is it only voted on by city council members, or is there a public vote where citizens come to vote on it?
It's only voted on by city council members,
okay.
So it won't be a public vote. But, you know, I would say the issue is probably divided on council right now. You know, the citizens should certainly have their voice heard and let their council members know their opinion. In fact, it was on our last agenda, and we decided to go ahead and table it for this very purpose, to try to get some public input.
Listen up. This is one of those issues where you definitely want to get out there and let your city council men and women know how you feel about this, because they will be taking a vote on it. Do you know when that vote's going to happen?
It's on our agenda for the first meeting in April, which will be the first Tuesday of the month.
Okay, so you have until the first meeting in April, which is, I think, the second?
I don't know. Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there. So early in the month, so get out there and let them know how you feel. All right, let's talk about another hot button issue that's going around right now. And this is one I'm particularly interested in hearing you explain what is really on the table, what is really being proposed here. And this is, I'm just going to call it the alcohol ordinance, to allow liquor to be sold inside of Frisco, correct?
Yeah, so maybe the two most controversial topics, dogs and liquor, that come up in Frisco, I think. And so what this is actually an item that the citizens will vote on. It'll be on the May ballot. Just to start the issue, I would say all council members individually oppose the measure. The chamber has opposed the measure. Many other organizations oppose the measure. The language on the ballot is very confusing. It's written by state law. We did have a local restaurant hire a third party out of the area to collect signatures. We feel like the signatures collected were not done so in a manner where the people signing knew what they were signing for. If you read the ballot language, I think a lot of people would naturally vote for it. I think it says something along the lines of, you want to have beer and wine sales in Frisco. But what it would actually effectively do is lose the city's ability to control where liquor stores and bars go. Long story short, a vote for no is to keep things exactly how they are today. You know, our restaurants can serve beer and wine. We don't currently allow liquor stores. And then bars, we have what's called a SUP, which is a specific use permit process, so we can control where they go. So they're not locating in residential areas or places that we wouldn't want them. They're located in more natural fits. And so that process has worked very well for the city of Frisco in the past. If the ordinance does pass, then really liquor stores and bars can go anywhere they want, and we really lose our control. You know, our opinion is that it would be very detrimental to the city if it were to pass. So we're all working hard to get the word out as far as exactly what you're voting for. You know, once the citizens are educated on it, I haven't run across many people that are in support of it once they learn what it really is. But it's going to be an education process so people know.
I'm going to try to wrap this in a way that hopefully people will take an objective approach to thinking about this. It sounds like, in general, the city council and most of the citizens, at least those that you've spoken with, are generally opposed to, not necessarily to the idea of having liquor sales outside of bars happen at some point in time, but it's the way this was done, it's the language on the ballot that's not clear, and it's setting us up for some things that may not be easy to predict down the road. And so rather than voting for this and allowing it to pass, if this is going to become an issue in the future, if this is something that the citizens want in the future, let's take a more thoughtful approach to making sure that we set this up right. So for example, I know Plano allows liquor sales, but it is very controlled and regulated there. It's not just anywhere and everywhere. And that would really be a more ideal situation for Frisco if this were going to be allowed in the future.
You know, Scott, I think that's a great way to explain the issue. This vote really isn't about whether you're for or against liquor sales here in Frisco. It's about the city's ability to control how the city is developed. And if the citizens do choose that they want that for Frisco, then you're right. It should be done through the right process with proper controls and where they can be built and those kinds of things. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I've heard people express concerns about things like, you know, the drive-through margarita shop's going to start popping up on the corners and things like that. And while I don't see that happening, it sounds like the way this has been positioned, that would at least be a possibility. And that's definitely not the kind of thing that we probably want to have.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really anytime you lose control of your zoning and your ability to control uses, you run those kinds of risks, absolutely. You know, I grew up in Houston, and Houston is kind of notorious for their bad zoning, where you have the liquor store next to the church, next to the elementary school. Certainly, I think a lot of people have learned from zoning mistakes of the past, and we're always known as a city that's well-planned and well-thought-out, and uses are integrated where they should be. We're looking for very specific entertainment districts, and that's a large part based on the thoughtfulness of the zoning and our master planning and our comprehensive plan that we have in place. And it would be a real shame, honestly, if we lost the ability to do that.
Well, as far as I know, Frisco is still, is it an ISO 1 city? We've still got that insurance rating, which is a huge deal. People don't necessarily know about that. And if you want to learn more, there's an interview I did with Mayor Masso a long time ago. It's one of the podcast episodes. We'll link up to it, where he explained why that was such a big deal and what's so important about that. But it sounds like things like a poorly thought out liquor law could affect that, which could have a lot of other downstream effects for citizens, like tax rates and other things.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's not just that, but truthfully, it's the ability of our police officers to properly patrol the city. You know, when you have thoughtful entertainment districts, then you know kind of where your problem areas are going to be and then at what time. You lose control of your zoning and bars are scattered all over the city, then that is much harder to police. Mm-hmm. Pretty much we have a united front from the city and school district, and the ISD board members are opposing it as well. We're kind of all trying to unify to fight the measure. And then if our citizens, you know, want us to pick it up, as you said, in a great way, let's do it. Let's do it the right way.
Okay, that sounds good. So is the vote on that going to be a part of the May 6th election that's coming up?
It is.
Okay, so you guys, it's always been a little bit disappointing to me what kind of voter turnout we get in Frisco as a percentage. You know, this is, again, an issue that will hopefully give people more than one reason to go out to the polls to cast their vote, but you guys get a chance to vote on this May 6th, so do not miss out on that. Speaking of, there's going to be an election on May 6th, and your place is going to have somebody else sitting in it pretty soon, man. You've been with us a long time. You've been on city council for 9 years now. And you're running into a term limit, right?
I am. Yeah, it's amazing. It's been a fun ride, and it's gone fast. Yeah, I've been on for 9 years, and our city charter only allows you to serve 3 terms. Each term is 3 years, so I'll be coming to my term limits here this May.
Well, very good. As you look back on the last 9 years, obviously the growth in Frisco is almost unimaginable in that time frame. Anything in particular that you're especially proud of that's been really something that you enjoy looking back and having taken part in?
Frisco has changed so much over the last 9 years. I feel like I could almost write a book about just all the projects I've had the opportunity to work on. I mean, it's just been amazing here. Obviously, the Cowboys deal and the Star was just, I think, an amazing achievement from many people. I mean, for a deal like that, start to finish, to be put together in 60 days, is just about unheard of. I mean, you hear about government gridlock, and most companies couldn't move that fast. And so that's, you know, what it took, and it took a lot of players, you know, really moving together to make that thing happen. And that's going to, I don't think people really realize what all that's going to do for the city and what all it's going to be, you know, not just for the city, but our student athletes and the experience. And that's going to be an incredible thing. The $5 billion mile, all the things coming out of the ground right now is, you know, truthfully a long labor of love, because, you know, when times were lean, you know, we went through difficult budget times. And, you know, I think a lot of elected officials, you know, they make the mistake of, I need to do a project, I want to have some kind of legacy. And, you know, we were very disciplined during those years of saying, no, we're going to kind of take a step back. We don't want to approve B-level projects just to do B-level projects. And we waited, and when we came out of that recession, we were more prepared, I think, than other cities. And I think that's why we're getting all these A-plus and home run projects coming, because, you know, we have the budget allowed to do so. So I think, you know, those economic development things are things that I'll be proud of and be able to point back at. You know, there's others that I joke, you know, won't happen until long after I'm gone. You know, there's a piece of property at Main and the Tollway that, you know, Scott Johnson and I, back in 2008, took a stand against a developer. There's a big grove of pecan trees back there that no one's ever seen. They're back there, though. And the developer came looking for an extension on their option. And Scott and I basically stood our ground and said, we're not going to give you your extension unless you agree to save those pecan trees. And they fought us, and we took a lot of heat for it. And they reluctantly went back to the drawing board and came back to us 2 weeks later and thanked us for making them work harder. And they said, not only are we going to save them, but we're going to build our development around those pecan trees. And so that project will be done long after I'm gone. But I often joke with Scott that, you know what, one day we need to have a picnic under our pecan trees that we save. So sometimes the big decisions are fun. A lot of times it's the little ones too. I mean, it's just helping the citizen, you know, the everyday citizen who emails you and they have a problem and you're able to solve it. I had one this year right before Halloween, and the sidewalk had caved in, and it was a big sidewalk that a lot of the kids walked on. And I think she called me the Tuesday before Halloween, and we were able to get it fixed before Halloween. All the trick-or-treaters were out. So,
fantastic.
You know, sometimes those little things are the ones that stick with you, where you help the individual person on the smaller problem. you know, some of the bigger things, this Saturday we're doing the Bacchus dedication, and Bacchus is the expansion of our baseball fields. You know, and that's something I'm really proud of, because that's something I really pushed and drove, which was a total change in the way we think about how we build our parks. You know, we used to build our parks naturally by saying every park needed a little bit of everything. You know, Warren Park, let's do 5 baseball fields, let's do X number of soccer fields, you know, and so forth and so on. And, you know, we do so much tourism here in Frisco that, you know, I really wanted to shift our thinking to say all of these parks should be set up to be able to host tournaments. You know, my boys play baseball, and Frisco can't host a baseball tournament. You have to have 10 to 15 baseball fields in one location. And so I pushed really hard for that, and that, you know, is a product of it. So Bacchus was expanded rather than those baseball fields just going to another park. And now they're going to have, I think, 12 to 14 fields, and they're going to be hosting a World Series this year.
Oh, wonderful.
And my boys are actually playing in 2 different baseball tournaments here in Frisco, and it'll be the first time we've ever been able to play in Frisco. And so I know a lot of our citizens are excited about that, and it's really, that's really kick-started our, just a paradigm shift in how we think about our parks going forward. And so now Northeast Community Park, that's becoming more of a football field park and lacrosse field park. And that's just going to make the life of the FFL, Frisco Football League, and these other sports, you know, that much easier. Because rather than sending their crews to 5 different parks around Frisco, all their games are going to be able to be hosted there. And it's just a better experience for the parents. We're all competitive, and we want to know what the competition is doing. So if you can spend a Saturday, you know, just watching Frisco football games, I know there's a lot of crazy dads like me that are going to be out there doing that.
Mm-hmm. Scoping the competition.
That's right, exactly. So that, you know, the whole park system is fine. And of course, me and my background in real estate do feel like I've kind of made a mark on development here in Frisco. And I don't think it'd ever be looked at the same way. My other council members joke that there'll never be a retaining pond ever built again that's not built as an amenity. That'll be on my council gravestone, I think. So much like the one that's done outside of Gloria's, I just think if they're not used as an amenity, then it's just a wasted opportunity. So that's been a big push of mine, quality residential development, unique neighborhoods, and then the commercial development, having more open space, unique dining experiences, where if you're going to sit on a patio, you know, right now we don't have many places where you're not looking at a parking lot.
Yeah.
And so that's been a big push of mine, and now we're starting to see that come out of the ground. Again, a lot of them would be open after my time, but it was, you know, something that I push really hard for.
I think a lot of people will be glad to hear that, because we do love our patios when the weather's nice, and it is nice to have something to look out on other than a parking lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, you know, honestly, another controversial project was Pizzeria Testa down there in Frisco Square. You know, and it's funny, on that project, basically what we did was we leased them part of that park. That's a city park. You know, we were afraid that some of the citizens, you know, may oppose us doing that. And actually, when we were discussing it back then in executive session, the first round it was a no, and we had moved on. I remember sitting there, and I was actually, we were up on the 5th floor, and I was had a chair where I was looking down at it, where the site was going to be, and I was trying to picture it. And, you know, I came back and I said, guys, let's take one more look at this. Let's really think about it. And really, what it ended up being was, we don't have any place in Frisco where you can sit on a patio and kids can go play, and here's our opportunity to do that. And so sometimes you've got to take a chance. And we started talking about it again, and by the end of the night, it was a yes. I shared that story with the restaurant owner probably about 6 months ago. He had never heard it, and he was like, well, I'm sure glad you brought it back up again. But, you know, I mean, with that project, we made them, you know, put a ton of money into that building and make it unique, and they certainly delivered.
Yeah, they did. It's a beautiful building, and it's a great space. They actually have, I think, 3 different patios. So there's the front patio, there's the back patio that looks out on the park, the green space there in front of City Hall, and then there's another one kind of off to the side that more or less looks out on that same park, but right, it's a little more separated. So you've got 3 nice outdoor spaces. It's a beautiful brick building inside and just a fun place to go to. So I'm glad to hear that you brought that back up too, because yeah, we have a lot of fun there.
So yeah, lots of great memories. You know, it's definitely a position that I'm going to miss. I hear a lot of people, you know, tell me all the time, you know, that they thank me for serving. But, you know, to me, it's more thanking other people to have the opportunity. There's a lot of people that would love to have the opportunity I have to serve the great city of Frisco like I've been able to do the last 9 years, and it's been a lot of fun. So.
Well, good. And, you know, for you guys that don't know, serving on city council is a full-time job on top of your full-time job, because this is not how you make your living. You're running the Cheney Group, that's amongst right, other things, but that's kind of your main – job, if you will, and then you're doing this on top of that, and it's a tremendous amount of work. So thank you very much for the last 9 years.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we get a $400 stipend from the city of Frisco, and that does not pay.
That doesn't cover you? That's not enough?
Thank you for that, Scott.
You bet, Jeff. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show again. And even though you're going to roll off, we're going to have you back on maybe to help add some color and some flavor to future issues that come up and give us some ideas about how City Council might be approaching that in the future, even if you're not necessarily in one of those seats.
Oh, yeah. We'd love to anytime.
All right. Thanks again. And we'll talk to you guys next time on the Frisco Podcast.